You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Stoma for Life. Now, this episode focuses on a subject that's incredibly close to home for many of us living with a stoma or managing a hidden chronic condition like Crohn's disease: public toilets. For those of us who rely on access to clean, well-equipped facilities, something as simple as a hook on the door or a small surface to place changing equipment can make a world of difference. This isn't just about comfort, it's about urgency, dignity, and necessity. Public toilets aren't mere conveniences. There are essential spaces that can either support our independence or completely undermine it. Over time, I've developed a kind of mental map for accessible toilets wherever I go. It's second nature now. I scan for places I know I can count on. But the truth is, I also avoid places where I've had bad experiences. The stress is just not worth it. Many public facilities, especially in large shopping centers and commercial spaces, don't realize how important these small details are. I recently visited a massive, beautifully designed, very clean disability toilet in a well-known Scandinavian-style home store. Everything looked great until I actually needed to use it. No hook, no small table or shelf, no space to properly perform any bag change. I've had moments where I had to awkwardly hold everything under my arm or my utensils, trying to balance my equipment, my changing hygiene products while managing my stoma, just to paint a picture for those who've never had to think about it. And there's the social ignorance. I've had people give me strange looks or even make comments as I exit disabled toilets simply because I don't look disabled. To be quite honest, I don't feel disabled, but I do prefer using the open spaces that a disability toilet gives me. Now, over the time, I've learned to handle those situations with grace. Now I just smile and say, well, thank you for the compliment. You clearly couldn't see my hidden disability, and I wish them a lovely day. Now, these lived experiences are exactly why today's conversation is so important. Recently, I came across something called the Lou of the Year Awards, a program that recognises and celebrates excellence in public toilet provisions across the UK. I was instantly intrigued. Who decides what makes a great loo? Are the needs of people with hidden conditions or stomas even part of the conversation? Honestly, I think it's a brilliant concept. As an ostomate, I find it truly inspiring. It gives visibility to something many take for granted, but that plays a vital role in the everyday lives of so many. Now, to find out more, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Becky Waugh, BEM, Managing Director of the Loo of the Year Awards, to today's show. She's here to talk about what goes into evaluating the UK's best public washrooms and why better toilets matter for everyone. So don't go away. We'll be back shortly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. Joining me now is somebody who's made it her mission to improve the public toilet experience across the UK. Becky Waugh, BEM, is the Managing Director of the Loo of the Year Awards and a board member of the British Toilet Association. She's been championing better standards in washroom provisions for decades, and today she's here to share how these efforts have made a real difference, one loo at a time. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And the first time I heard about the awards, I was totally intrigued because obviously it's all in the name. It says it all, Loo of the Year. But perhaps just for our listeners, take us back to, first of all, what you got you started and how the awards came about.
Okay, so the awards have now been going about 38 years and they were founded by a gentleman called Richard Chisnell. And it originally was to get groups of people that were looking after toilets, i.e. facility management type teams, to compete against each other to earn awards, to try and get the standards up. Whilst he was doing that, he realised that there was room for this to go within the councils and talk to the local councils, and they thought it was a great idea to also help keep their standards up within their toilets. So that was the very early days, as I say, 38 years ago. And then it changed hands again, I think it was about 16 years ago. And that gentleman then decided it was also quite good for commercial, not just the councils, and to get businesses involved, because it was a good way of them having an independent audit, but also marketing their premises as being a place that looked after their toilets and took care of their visitors. So that was how that sort of moved on. And then in 21, Charles and my husband bought it and we've taken it on. We haven't changed it a lot because what and how it worked well. It just needed bringing perhaps into more modern times. So within the Loo of the Year Awards itself, we look at it a bit like the FA Cup structure. Everybody who enters or is nominated gets asked if they want to enter, pays a small entry fee, and then they all have an unannounced inspection of 101 tick criteria. And that can be measuring, that can be just sight, visual audit within that 101. And those all come from British standard recommendations. So the British standards, especially with accessible toilets, are very, very strict what they want to see. And so that is how we follow it. And all of those that, as I say, enter get this unannounced inspection. They get given a grading, which goes from bronze, silver, platinum, platinum plus, or Miss Gold out there, sorry, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, platinum plus, which is five, a bit like the food and hygiene ratings are 1 to 5. So your platinum plus would be your highest. But if they're really exceptional, and they have to be, they could get a diamond, but that's only about 3% of the whole entries actually achieve that. So they all get that. Then they are then entered, depending on how well their marks are and what categories they are in, to the next level, which would be a national award. So they could win their particular category in England, Ireland, Scotland or Wales. And then if they've done quite well in that, then they get entered into the UK. So the four out of the countries get into the UK, and they then can win a UK trophy. And then the overall winner will obviously be the one with the highest scores and the best toilets at the time they were visited, and they get the overall trophy. So whilst we're doing that, we're also looking for the washroom technicians. So if those results are really good, somewhere behind those really good standards is a person who's passionate about how they're keeping them. And so if we can find out who they are and get their names, they then get put forward for a trophy. So they get the washroom technician of the year. And other ones that are doing well will get a certificate to say that they've been entered and they've done well. And then there's also obviously teams of cleaners. So you might have what we call an in-house cleaning team and a exterior cleaning team, which is usually a facility management company. And again, we're looking out for those two to see, you know, the passion and how they are cleaning and what standards they are cleaning to. So that's the awards themselves. And then also the judging criteria. And then we have an awards event, which happens in January. And that's a whole day. And in that day, we have networking so that people can bring stands to show the latest in the industry, what's needed to keep these washrooms of a good standard and all the consumables that we might need. It could also be people that are bringing services to the business. So it could be advertisers, it could be workwear, it could be printers as well, because we try and give it a little bit of everything. It could be the latest cleaning machines. So we have a sort of networking time with the trade stands. We also have awareness time on the stage where people again are bringing news of what's happening in the industry. So for example, in the last couple of years, it was about the new apprenticeships and what you can cover within cleaning to be able to get technicians highly trained so that they're not mixing chemicals and not harming themselves or anybody else. So that was quite an important issue. We also do some awareness of disabilities, whether they are visible or hidden. And we have a charity of the year that speaks. So the last year and this year, it's Crohn's and colitis. The first 2 years that I was involved, we did ERIC, which was the Children's Bowel and Bladder Charity. And also we've been very involved with providing a platform for Changing Places, and also a company called P-Wave, who've been doing a lot with the NHS for prostate cancer. So as much as we're celebrating all those that have done well and are raising their standards, we're also raising awareness of why they're needed, and not just for the able-bodied, but the not-so-abled and the elderly. And also, I guess, within that, what we're trying to do is help businesses understand that these are important things, not just to their visitors and their customers, but also to their staff. It's all about mental health and wellness, as well as what we are trying to bring forward with physical health and wellness.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to take you back to something you said right in the beginning, because this is sort of something that I'm sure the listeners are also asking themselves. You've got an inspector coming around and they evaluate on 101 questions. Now, if I stand in a loo, I don't know if I can pick out 101 things that are good or bad.
Okay, so it's 101 over a set of the toilets. So in the 101, you've got the gents' toilets, the ladies' toilets, the accessible toilets, baby change, and changing places, and that makes up 101. So you would go in as an inspector, and you obviously know what your sheets are like because we use the same sheet for every inspection, and you know straight away what you're looking at. And when I go into a toilet, to me, straight away, everything should be at the top grade, but obviously it isn't. So then you start going down your tick sheet of items that you're looking at and measuring, and you start knocking marks down because you know where the discrepancies are. So it could be, for instance, just cleanliness, could be cleanliness. I don't say just cleanliness, but it could be cleanliness that I'm looking at, and I can tell what's today's best, what was yesterday's and last week's, and what's been weeks. So straight away you can mark down. When you're measuring, again, as I say, there's a British standard, so you get the tape measure right, and you're measuring things like the width of a cubicle, a width of a door. And those people that have access needs would know that to have a door on a accessible toilet, it has to be a certain width, 92.5. Otherwise, you wouldn't get certain wheelchairs through. So it's things like that. We know what we're looking for. We're also looking for things like colostomy shelves in the accessible. We're looking for alarm cords being correctly at 10 centimeters a hook, between 80 and 100, the second hook. And those hooks are really important for people that might be arthritic because they can't grab the actual cord. They need the hooks. So there's absolute fixed ideas wherever we go in what I would call just the general ladies and gents toilets. We're looking for locks, we're looking for door hooks, we're looking for lighting, we're looking that people will feel safe when they're there. We need to see soap, we need to see running water, we need to see some way of drying your hands, and disposal of not just rubbish but sanitary ware, both in the gents and the ladies, all really important.
You know, those are important points because it's something that you actually sort of take for granted. Because as you were telling them now, it's all things that I tick off in my head when I enter a toilet, obviously, but it's not conscious anymore because one is so used to having those facilities, but you do notice it straight away when it's not
Not
present.
correct. And it's interesting you say that because we have a little joke. One of our inspectors quite often gets asked, "Oh, why would you want to be a loo inspector?" And she just turns around and says, "I do exactly what you do, but I have a clipboard where I tick what's missing off." And it isn't that so true because you've just said that. We all do it.
Yeah, we'd all do it. And I mean, with these awards, you know, the question does bear, because I know I've been to a lot of loos where I don't even want to go in because I sort of walk backwards and I say, no, I'm not even entering this loo. Because obviously, it's not only about the facility, it's also about educating the people that use the loo, unfortunately, because sometimes people do leave or sort of forget everything they've learned. And somehow just think they can do whatever they want if because it's not their loo at home. Now, I've worked in the airline industry for 30 years, and believe you me, I've seen some toilet issues in my flight career that you will not believe, where you think, well, you would not throw your diapers in the toilet at home either, or you wouldn't do these things at home. But clearly, we still have to educate people about this.
Oh, I think we do. And I think it should start from a very early age. We're trying to get a lot more schools involved. We've got a couple of nurseries that are really, really prominently trying to promote, and the primaries and some primary schools, and we've got secondaries, and we've got universities. But I do believe education starts right when they're young, when they're being potty trained. I think we need to make sure that they don't believe toilets are a taboo subject. I think we need to make them understand it's one of the five things we all need to do every day, and that we should therefore be able to talk about it openly And that goes then down to when they feel that something is incorrect with either their bowel movements or their bladder movements, so that they don't feel embarrassed. And we should also be teaching them how to keep these areas clean and tidy for other use. And, you know, I think schools can do this, but we do have a problem as well with schools where they don't like children going to use the toilet in amongst lesson times. They only want it in break times. And unfortunately, that also brings another problem where you may find bullying, or you may find children just to feel embarrassed going when there's lots of people around. And that then also causes other problems. So it becomes antisocial just because they don't really want to be there with others. And then they leave things and make things unbearable for others. But I'm with you. I mean, having worked in toilets for most of my adult life, either through event management or through our own companies now, it does surprise me how people leave things when it's not theirs. And it does give you that absolute question that you just said, what is it like in their own home?
Exactly.
But I think education's got to start at a very young age.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in our conversation prior to this interview, you shared something which I found extremely touching, because it's something that you shared from how your mother went about public toilets. Do you want to share that as well?
Because that's lovely. Yeah. So when I was young, we grew up on a farm and you didn't really have many holidays. And so what we used to do is occasionally go out for some supper and a ride round. And we'd, at a young age, we'd all pile in the car and off we'd go. And we'd pull up at a public house and my mum would run in, and then she'd run back out and she'd say yes or no. Now, I always thought that was because it was full, or it wasn't doing food, or it couldn't accommodate us. As time went on, I suddenly realised, after questioning her, it was about her going in and checking the toilets. And her exact words were, if they can't look after what we can see, what are they doing with what we can't? I.e. kitchen, behind the bar, pipes, things like that. And she brought us up very much to be the same. And I talk to people about it, and it's amazing how many people say, yeah, we do that. Or, yeah, I've been to a restaurant and the food's been really nice, but I've gone to the toilets and it's put me off.
Yeah.
I won't go back again.
Yeah.
But also, when I looked, I was talking to somebody about this in sort of a networking group. They turned around to me and they said, actually, this is any business. And I said, sorry. And they said, yes, if you went to an accountant or your solicitor and you went to the toilet and it wasn't well looked after and tidy and nice, would it make you think whether they were cutting corners with your accounts, etc., but you're still paying, you know, a good fee, and how that would reflect if something went wrong? And I just sat there and I went, absolutely, I hadn't thought about it. I was just thinking on the food side, because that's where I'd been brought up and how I'd been brought up. But actually, it's right. If you cannot look after the things that your customers and visitors can see, and your staff, mm-hmm. what are you doing behind the scenes that they can't? And that is quite worrying, really, in some respects.
But I'm absolutely on board with your mom, because that really subconsciously you take all those things in. And I've gone to restaurants where my restroom experience was negative and I've never gone back, because you do associate those things. And unfortunately, restrooms and loos always seem to be an afterthought. They seem to be like a little add-on that you have to do because you are a restaurant now, or it's nothing that's on top of mind. And I think it also, like you said, it shows also a respect, not for the customer, but for the staff that works there as well.
Yes, absolutely. And when people have these certificates and they say to us, where would you like us to put these certificates? And I'm saying, where your customers and staff can see them. Because then they will appreciate the fact that you've appreciated the staff, appreciated what you've done. The customers will appreciate the fact that you've gone and had an external audit to try and improve your standards. It's part of your marketing, but it's a part of a serious day-to-day thing that we all need to use.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to ask the question, you know, what does it actually mean for companies that receive this award? And I mean, you've actually just said it now, you know, it's a validation and it's showing.
I think because it's been going so long, it now has a credibility that people are looking for. And it's not just it's not just the companies that receive it, but if you are a facilities management company who are working for a client, it's a way of showing that you are doing as you have said you would in your contract. So it's another way of having an independent person come along and validate that you're doing that job.
Absolutely. We've got a break for a quick commercial. We'll be back shortly, so please don't go away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. If you've just joined us, I'm chatting with Becky Waugh, BEM, Managing Director of the Lou of the Year Awards and a board member of the British Toilet Association. Becky has spent years advocating clean, safe and accessible public toilets across the UK. And in recognition of her outstanding services, she was awarded the British Empire Medal, an honour that reflects just how impactful her work truly is. Becky, for those that are living outside of the UK, could you tell us a bit more about what the BEM represents and what it means to be personally to actually receive it?
So the British Empire Medal is the sort of the first medal that you can receive for local work within the MBE, the CBE that are given by the Queen. Or the King, as it is now. So mine was the Queen, and it has a lovely picture of the Queen as a sovereign on it, and it's all engraved for you. So it's a recognition, and what happens is you get, without you knowing, somebody nominates you to. I think it goes through the government first as part of the office for the royal to them, and they have to put quite a good case together to why you should receive it, and they have to have evidence. So quite a lot of people get involved providing evidence who have worked with you or known of the work you've done or received something from you through that work, and they put that all together, and then it goes through a system within the government to be checked, and then it gets rubber stamped by the Lord Mayor's office and then royalty.
Wow.
So, as I say, it's sort of the first one on the pecking order before you go up. Now, this was introduced, as I understand, many, many years ago around wartime and long before that. And then it was withheld, and then it came back in the 2000s. So there aren't that many people that have them, which is it's growing. But it is mostly people for local things that you've done. Where sort of your MBEs, OBEs are very much more for your work you've done over the UK or you've done nationally or internationally. So,
yeah, you're absolutely the right fit for this award because you've done so much in the local and in the community and in the UK for raising awareness and for, well, with the awards. I think it's, like I said, I'm a very big fan already and I've only just heard about these awards. So those people that are listening now and are curious to perhaps nominate somebody or know, oh, well, if I'm a company owner, I would like to be part of these awards. How do they go about it?
Okay, so the Lure of the Year Awards has quite a good website. And on there, it gives you different ideas of what criteria there are. So where your company fits in, it could be transport, it could be retail, it could be visitor attractions, it could be restaurants, hospitality. So there's lots there for people to look at. Offices, beach, toilets. So you can find which one that fits your company. There's an entry form. You can go onto the entry form and fill it in. Or you can call us. There's a telephone number on there where my awards manager, Jane, is absolutely fantastic at helping people find which is the best one for them and making sure they enter. And there's two choices. They can do what we call an A entry, which just is the unannounced audit, a grading, and your certificate. And then the platform's up if you've done well. Or you can have what we call a B report. Now, a B report means we give you a little bit more information about what we found good and what we found needs improvement and how you can move to the next grade. So we do charge a little bit more for that, but it does give people a bit more of an idea of where they can be. Also on the website there, it does give a really good detailed breakdown of some of the criteria that we're looking for. So people can have a really good look at what their washrooms look like and how that works with the judging criteria and, you know, make some improvements before we go or wait to see what we find and work from there. So the website is really quite good for reference. And as I say, the entry form is on there too.
Yeah. And I find it interesting because you've said, obviously, there's different categories. Now, if I've got a beachfront restaurant, or I'm a loo, or I have a loo at a camping facility, I obviously won't be put in the same category as somebody that is in the corporate world.
No,
different categories.
Yes. There are different categories, and there's also different awards. So 2 years ago, my husband and I decided we needed some more awards for the smaller entrant. So not the big corporate ones that've got lots of entries. We need to look after the smaller entrant as well, because, you know, they've got probably smaller budgets, but are working as hard to make those standards as good. And so we put in the most improved. So if we have somebody who's had a B report and then they've improved on it year after year and we see an improvement, we've got the most improved. We've got now the chairman's award, and that changes each year. The chairman decides what he'd like it to be for. So the first year, it was awarded to a campsite that had been going for 20 years in the awards. And every time there'd been a new grade added, because the grades did start off with up to gold, and we've had to add grades as people are improving, they've stepped up the mark and got that higher grade. So we acknowledged that, and we were really pleased that not only had we acknowledged it, they'd had an independent audit from the AA for their caravan site, and they were the best in Scotland. So we'd obviously got something right, because we were working independently, but both of us had recognised it was a really good site and they were doing really well. But then this year, the chairman decided that it would be for the highest marked new entry, and that was company dental surgery called Trust Dental, and they entered their toilet for the first time and they actually got a diamond. It was that good. And that we decided needed a celebration, so they got the chairman's trophy for that. So all the time there's trophies for the best accessible toilet, the best changing places, there's trophies for all those, the best school, the best education. But these two were just to give us something a little bit more that we could help celebrate those that are smaller but coming out with wow toilets.
Yeah, I was just about to ask if there were any wow factors that you've encountered. And obviously, for a first-time entry to actually get that award, wow, they must have really been exceptional to
Yeah,
actually
well,
ticked off everything.
they've got everything that you would normally ask for in a bathroom or a washroom, but they'd also got pictures, they'd also got fresh flowers, they'd also got sanitary products. They thought of everything that you might need. They'd even got, because we look for as well, some safeguarding notices. So we look for things like Ask Angela, which is quite a big one in the hospitality, but we also look for signs that somebody's autistic, they might not like the noise of the hand dryer. So we're looking for all those as well. So they'd done more or less everything from what. So I think they just looked at the judging criteria, perhaps, and had really worked hard on it. But it was a real wow factor, and you felt that you could go in there and you could have eaten your food off the floor. It was immaculate.
Wonderful. Now, obviously, I use normal public toilets, but when I need to do, as an ostomate, if I need to do bag change, then I obviously prefer bigger spaces. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a disability toilet and it's used as a storeroom, where the mops are in the corner or the baby high chairs are packed neatly in one corner or the summer deck chairs, I don't know. And then you have to sort of navigate your way around to where you're supposed to be and then still find things missing. So we are here to educate people and also those listening. Yes, those disability toilets, they are really there for a reason and they are not to be used as storerooms. And now tell us. You mentioned the Crohn's and Colitis charity that you're working with. Tell us about that union and how you wish to incorporate them in the awards.
Well, that union came through one of your previous interviewers, actually, Stefan Thomas. Stefan, I met back last May at a networking event where he was a key speaker. And he was speaking on the stage, and my awards manager and I said, do you know what? He'd be really good at the awards because I say part of it is an awareness day and an educational part of it. And we thought, his discussion on networking would be good for whatever size company was in that room because networking is key to everybody's business, including ours. So he came out and we asked him if it would be something he'd be interested in and explained what we did. And it was like a light bulb moment for us all because suddenly he said, oh my goodness, I suffer with Crohn's and colitis. I totally understand what you're doing. A little bit like you did, very excited about it. Yes, I'd love to get involved. And then as soon as he got involved, we'd said, well, before then, we'd said to him as well, oh my goodness, this is all knitting together because we wanted to get Crohn's and colitis for our charity of the year. And he said, leave it with me. I'll sort it. So Stefan, bless him, did the groundwork and got Crohn's and colitis on board. And I had a meeting with Stefan and Natasha, who is a breath of fresh air. She is just so passionate about the charity. And so this year they just came along and they put a table exhibit together. We, in our networking at lunchtime, we do some silly games. We have throw as many plastic balls into a slow closing toilet seat and people pay to have a go and then we give the money to the charity. So they
Wonderful.
came and got involved in that, and there was a couple of other games very similar. And then we got Natasha to do a speech as well and do some awareness, which she did. And I think she's had some really good feedback and some connections from that. And so hopefully this year we're going to move on and do a little bit more with her. And I've just been talking, and I can't say too much yet, but I've been talking to a gentleman who makes, or sells rather, industrial cleaning machines. And he has offered us a £3,000 cleaning machine to either auction or put out to draw. We're not quite sure what we're going to do with it yet, but whatever money we raise from that will go to Crohn's because that will be our charity. So hopefully we'll be raising a little bit more of awareness for them and working together with this gentleman because our values are both of the same. We want standards to become higher and we want understanding of cleanliness and cleaning and how it's done to be improved. So
Yeah. And what I like about it is you don't just give an award to one category. You've also got the you're also thinking about the people that are actually doing the groundwork, cleaning it, which I think is so important because those really we all always overlook things like that because you just take it for granted that it's supposed to be clean. Yes, but who does all this?
And do you know what? When you meet some of these people, they are very passionate about what they do. And I know that we get some people that moan about paying to use a toilet because there's some in London City that enter and they're council toilets and you have to pay 50p to use them. But they are manned and, or woman, or it's a woman, they're attended, I should say. And they are immaculate and they're stocked and they're looked after. And these people are passionate about what they do. And that for me is brilliant on the awards day. When you see the people coming to get these awards, how excited they are and how happy they feel to have been recognised. And to me, that is what then builds a good generation of people that keep that passion and keep that work going.
Yes, and they get seen because usually, society looks past that. They don't see those people.
Yeah, I mean, I own a mobile toilet company, which I've been running for 20 years, and that's what got me very much involved with Loo of the Year Awards. And you can turn up on site, and it can be the most beautiful wedding, it can be a party, and you are the low of the lows because you've brought the toilets. And that to me is really sad. We should be championing people that clean toilets. We should be championing people that raise those standards because, at the end of the day, as I said, it's one of the five things we need to do every day, and we need to feel comfortable, secure, and happy wherever we are. So, I think we need to educate people about that because we've gone the wrong way, if you know what I mean.
I've had so many people on the show that have had stories of, well, they come from shame, I'd say sometimes as well, because of perhaps a hidden disability like living with a hidden chronic illness, where it is a toilet issue. And because I think we have not grown up to talk about these issues, and we should actually change the dialogue and the narrative around it. It's like you said, it's a vital bodily function that everybody does. And we are all the same in that aspect. That's the way it goes.
Absolutely, absolutely, we are, and I think it does need doing. I mean, we've seen mental health become more aware. People are talking about it, especially in men, and I think we need to be like that now with toilets. But as I say, I think it needs to start at a young age. We should not make it an embarrassing subject. If a child wants to talk about something with, to do with their toilet habits or whatever, we should be encouraging it so that it then drives through. But I think we forget that there's an awful lot of money that could be saved, both in the NHS with and probably further afield, if we looked after ourselves better and looked after our toilet habits better and understood the damage we can do to ourselves by holding water in our bladder and, things like that. I think we would save an awful lot of money on the National Health as well. So I think the education doesn't just go down to being embarrassed. It goes down to how we healthily, is that the proper word? But, look after our bodies inside, because I think we do forget about that. And I do think, sometimes at schools when they're stopping children going to the toilet or they're stopping them drinking so that they don't go to the toilet, the damage that that can be causing our organs that we can't see. And that worries me. So, I think education has got a big way to go in all aspects of toilets.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got a teenage son at home, and he says no, he will not go and use the toilet in school because of all those reasons. And also, when he does, when I mean, obviously, there's one or two occasions where he needed to go, and then teachers would say, "No, you're not allowed to." Obviously, I mean, obviously, children are children. They might just use it as an excuse. But I'm sure, as a teacher, you know when your pupil is using it as an excuse to get out of work, or if he really needs to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. And I think, I know when I was at school, if you were on your period, they gave you a little card to take to the teacher so that you could get a pass. But then everybody knew because they'd all seen the card. And I just think, well, that then causes more distress.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. And I do think we need to have a real shake up of how we deal with our bodies, and how we, what we put in has got to come out, and how we do that, because I do believe that a lot of the problems that people suffer in later life are due to the fact that we don't look after ourselves well enough when we're young.
Yeah, no, very true. Very true, Becky. Now, please, perhaps just share your social media links or website details so listeners can actually go and look at your beautiful website and the things you are currently involved in outside also. I mean, I know you do a lot of other projects, but so that my listeners can actually follow you and look at it.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. Yes. So obviously the website is www.lou.co.uk. Something so simple. So hopefully people can have a look at that. And I class that as my, as our sort of company reference book. It's got most things on there. And then we have a Lou of the Year Awards LinkedIn page. And I also have a personal LinkedIn page, Becky Wall, which sort of work together. Sometimes I put it things on both of them. Sometimes I do reposting and work them together. And then we're also on Facebook, again, as a personal and under Lou of the Year Awards. And then we're also under Lou of the Year Awards on the Instagram platform too. And that's quite interesting because we get a lot of younger ones on there. And it has surprised me how many young people are beginning to realise the importance of high standards. So it's good.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Becky. You have been a breath of fresh air. You've opened up my eyes to how I go into also normal toilets, not just a disability toilets, to make sure all those boxes are ticked mentally. And I think we've opened up the conversation on loose itself, on how to actually appreciate them as well when they are good, because I think that's a lot of things that we don't talk about. We don't actually say enough when it has been good. And the Lou of the Year Awards clearly do that. And I'm so glad you're doing this.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. And I wish you all the best going forward. Take care, Becky.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.